I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 491, The E3 Obsession.
This is only the beginning.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. Panda!
Hi!
Oh my gosh. So a couple things. Number one, you're actually physically in the room with me today.
Oh my god, I'm real.
What? You're not a figment of my imagination. You're not just a sister that exists over the internet.
Oh my god, sisters on the internet? Never.
Sisters on the internet. Okay, so glad that you're actually physically here with me to do this podcast today, because we have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot of E3 shit to talk
about. So, guys, this is going to be the start of our obsessing over E3 stuff in the podcast.
Oh my god!
I don't know when it's going to end.
The butter is so good! Take my money!
I have a feeling that we're probably going to be talking about stuff from E3 all the way to holiday.
Do you know what sucks about this the most?
That we didn't get to go?
Well, all right. You know what sucks the second most besides not being able to physically go?
What?
So, once again, I'm totally going to talk about just me here. Like, here I am trying to save for a really awesome wedding, and all this stuff went out, and I was like, okay, so now I need a budget for this game, budget for this game. Let me move this photo shoot. Yo, so I can pay for this
game. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to need to start driving for Uber on the weekend, bro.
You know, I thought about it.
Don't do it. Do it. You can make bank.
Like, that could be all my play money, and then I could save from the wedding money.
Your Uber money can be your play money.
Because, like, bruh, with all the stuff they released, I was like, fuck.
That's why I got my car clean. I'm like this close to doing it my damn self.
Like, fuck.
This close.
Like, here, at first I was like, okay, Last Guardian, but then I saw, like, three or four times, I'm like, shit.
So let's break it down. We're gonna run through, I think, probably some of the bigger game announcements, because I know I got a bunch that are on my hit list that we're gonna talk about that came through the media briefings. I think that's probably what we're gonna focus on today for a conversation. And then we're gonna start getting deep into games that are actually coming out fairly soon. We got a lot to talk about. It's going to take us all summer to get through all the things that we want to talk about. I mean, between just VR alone and focus that was put there. But today, I got a few things that I want to talk about. The first and foremost, like, on top of my head, that I have to talk about. God of War.
I was calling it hashtag The Last of Gods on Twitter. Or Last of Kratos, or the next of Kratos.
The next of Kratos, like that.
Because, well, literally, like, when that trailer was going off, like, at first I'm like, this isn't Horizon Zero Dawn, even though it kind of, like, had that, and I'm like, but the background kind of made me feel like
The Last of Us,
and, like, there's, like, the kid, and I'm like,
when Ellie is hunting for the rabbit.
Very similar, and I'm like, oh no. I'm like, so Joel found another kid? What happened to it? Like, why is it got all primitive? Did the world really go to shit? Well, and like, then all of a sudden, he comes out. I'm like, it's the last of Kratos.
So I'm watching this trailer, right? And if you haven't seen the PlayStation E3 briefing, definitely watch it. You can check it out. They've got it archived on their YouTube channel. And pretty much anybody that was live covering the day, IGN, all those guys, they have their own feeds. But definitely check out the PlayStation 1. But when the trailer first came on and I saw the kid, like, my first reaction was I thought that it was a Tomb Raider.
I also maybe thought, I'm like, oh, it's Twing Twang's son. Because he kind of had that red hair and stuff. And I was like, maybe.
And so I was like, okay, so it's that. And then I was like, no, it's not that, because it feels a little bit different. And when I heard the voice for the first time, I was like, oh, TK's doing work again. Like, my brain did not put it together that it was God of War yet. I was just like, oh, Santa Monica Studios or somebody's using TK again. I'm glad the brother's getting work. Like, my brain was still not,
right.
Like,
it did not turn out like, tick, 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 tick.
It was like, it did not factor that this could possibly be a God of War game. Because again, and we talked about this.
Yes,
at the end of 3.
We did.
And I kept going on like, no, they can still do more God of War games with him, because just because he killed off the Roman gods, there are other gods out there.
Right.
You know, you got Greek gods.
The last of gods.
You got Norse gods. Like, there are other gods out there. So Kratos could just be like, fuck it, I'm gonna kill all the gods. And
I literally mean all the gods.
And if I remember correctly, you were like, no, because hope was now out in the world, and so therefore man would not be able to get to, like, near the gods or whatever. So no, this is the end of Kratos. I believe that was the argument we were having. Where I was like, yes, there could be more, and you were like, no, there could not.
I'm sorry, but I feel like my hope synopsis, or hope hypothesis, does carry some significance that, okay,
I'm not saying it's not significant, but...
But it
Kratos wasn't dead.
Kratos was not... I mean, granted, he
was... And you said he was, and I was like, no, he's not.
Granted, once again, he fell off something really high again. Like, he needs to just...
He survives cliffs.
He needs to stop falling.
The game's taught you he survives cliff falls.
He does, generally.
Kratos falls off cliff, you think he's dead? No, he's not.
I love the fact that, like, he's totally got, like, that... Like, it's so weird, because you never picture Kratos as, like, a dad. And then here he comes, shirtless, well, chiseled, beard, wisdom.
Here's the thing.
And I'm like, hey, daddy.
Here's the thing.
Hey, that's your son.
Watch now. Watch now. Watch that hey, daddy thing, because Kratos is mine.
Here's
the
deal,
though. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Kratos has always been a dad.
Well, here's the thing. Remember, he was a tortured dad.
But he's always been a dad.
I mean, he did kill his wife and baby.
They weren't a baby. His daughter was like...
Right.
Like,
but I'm just saying, he killed them.
Ares tricked him.
But, yeah.
But he did kill them. But he did have them, though.
Like, I wonder when he met the mom, who I hope we get some backstory on in the game.
I'm sure we will. But he's not like... Let me tell you a little bit about myself.
Look, my past is really seated. Let's have a marital bed, but then after a while, let me, like, sleep on the couch. And if after a certain point nothing's happened, I'll come back in.
Yo,
it's for your safety, because,
shit went down once. Kratos really isn't a touchy-feely kind of guy. I don't have any kind of illusion that he probably shared his past like that with somebody. But what I really liked about the trailer is the way that Kratos felt to me from the trailer that they showed... And some of the gameplay that they were running through, because that was gameplay that they had.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Which was awesome to see.
I had 8 towels and popcorn.
What was really nice was that I got the feeling from Kratos, like when I played Assassin's Revelation from Ezio in his later years. That, you know, he had really matured. There were a lot of things about the world and his life and his role in it that he had accepted. And I got that same kind of... matured, definitely now in my end phase kind of feel from Kratos that I got from Ezio in Revelation. So I do think that this God of War game is probably the one where the torch gets passed to his son, and any other outings that we have in the franchise may be his son and not necessarily
him,
Kratos.
Right.
So I'm excited to see how that story ends. You know,
like, for all
we know,
the part that we're watching might be a flashback in this older kid's mind.
Right, we don't know.
For all we know.
We don't know. We don't know if in God of War we're Kratos all the time or we're the kid all the time. And I kind of like that. I'm just psyched. I'm psyched. The game looks fantastic.
I think I strongly appreciate the fact that they're giving this facet of Kratos that we've all been kind of curious about. Even though he has this son, and you see them going out in the world and experiencing stuff, and, you know, and he's still a complete and utter badass, but he's also still there trying to instill this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when they finally get the beast down, and the kid's like, I can't do it, and, like, I was like, he's just gonna, like, take the kid's hand and he made it more about, look, this is the action that we have taken. This is the course. We need to finish it. We need to see. So, like, it wasn't just, like, stab, okay, now do it. But he followed through with that and taught his son how to follow through with his consequences and his choices.
Right. You can't maim something and leave it to suffer. Like, this is what we chose to do because we have a need here. You have to complete this task.
So.
And I'll help you with it. And we'll go slowly, but we have to complete what we started.
And I mean, and it wasn't as brutal as we've known Kratos to just rip heads off and stuff. Like, it was a really humane way to take this deer out. It's like, we're just gonna stab right here, he'll bleed out slow. Up, he has the gentle eye, like he went to sleep Bambi style, and that was that. And I'm just like, now we know, if this was young Kratos, that that would not have gone as poetically beautiful.
He would have ripped the damn thing's head off and like, dinner.
Yum, 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 yum. Yum for my tongue.
Like a grab-and-go snack. Like.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's going to be really, really interesting, and I feel like a lot of characters, we're now seeing the after-story of stuff. I mean, we're getting that other, we're all getting that Gears of War game, where now we're seeing
Let's talk about Gears!
We're seeing Marcus and Anya's, like, blonde-ass son. Coming back to that tree to grab them tags, because, you know,
it's about damn time, because, frankly, we've been talking about Marcus and Anya for how long? Yeah. For how many games?
I know.
Like, just needing to happen?
And it happens off screen! It happens off camera!
Damn you, Microsoft.
You know, we had Dom, my wife, and then Marcus...
Don't complain about Dom.
No,
you know
no,
Dom.
No. Here, you, no. Because I have to.
No, you don't have to.
I do, and here's why. Because... so much love for Dom, so much respect, and it took me a while, because for a while there I thought he was just a whiny bitch crying about his wife all the time.
Yeah,
but
you did.
Where my wife, and then he finds her, and then he kills her, and he doesn't even do it in the most, like, humane way ever.
Spoiler.
Mind, if you haven't played the games now, well then, fuck you.
I love it. You haven't played it yet?
Fuck you. No, but, like, we didn't get to see all of that build up. To understand, like, why he's so in, like, obviously trying to get his
wife. Did you not
back.
Play 1, 2, and 3?
I did.
Like, all he did was, like,
wham,
try to
my wife, wham. No, oh, I'm mentally unstable, sacrificing myself for the team. Spoilers, fuck you. But, like, we get this light exposition of, like, his ambition to get his wife. And this whole time, we have that creeping backstory of, you know, Anya and Marcus kind of having this thing. And then we don't see nothing. And now in this game, they obviously banged at least once or twice, because there's a son. There's a Marcus-looking motherfucker with, like, sandy fucking blonde hair. And there was only one fucking blonde that we ever actually saw. So, clearly it wasn't Claudia Black's character. So, clearly he hit that. And we don't even get the honor to, like, see them kind of sort of flirt, because I'd love to know what Marcus Phoenix looks and sounds like when he's trying to get some ass.
I mean, here's the thing.
Revive me! And by that I mean his penis.
That motion right there is gonna stick with me in my head for a long
time.
Revive
me! Alright. But I'm just saying.
But anyway.
We may get that satisfaction. I highly
doubt. I think it'll probably, if you get anything, it'll be like
expositions, like, and then me and Anya got married, and then we had.
No, I'm sure that they didn't
Marcus
get married.
Marcus Phoenix Jr.
I'm sure, like, if anything, what you'll get is, like, at the end of the mission, there'll be, like, a look that he shoots her and she shoots him, and then it'll, like.
Hey, look, civilization's kind of fucked. You know, we could get married, but, you know, life could end tomorrow, so let's just fuck until we have babies and just live for today.
Like, it'll be a look, and it'll be a
fuck
look.
Fuck boys everywhere will be like, following Marcus's lead. We don't need to get married to be in love. Let me just hit that right
quick. Look, you don't... Look, all right, that's
let
another podcast.
Let me move out my mama's
Yo,
house.
That's another podcast. That's another
just
podcast.
Say.
We'll get to that another
Marcus,
time.
Marcus, original OG.
Yeah, he is the original OG. But I am so looking forward to this Gears game for a bunch of different reasons. The biggest one is that it's been a while since I've had... The feel of a
the touch
action
and feel
shooter.
Of cotton, the fabric of our lives?
No. The visceral shooter. Like, I haven't had that in a while. I've had a lot of tactical, like, cerebral shooters. You know, where the stories have gone with Call of Duty and, you know...
Oh, how interesting that you bring up Call of Duty.
I'll get there. But I haven't had a visceral shooter in a while. You know, where it was... like, even Halo didn't feel... as visceral, you know, with
I
don't
play Halo.
You didn't play Guardians?
No, I did not get Guardians. The last one I played was, I want to say it was either ODST or Reach, and I only got to the part where you get to fly the spaceship.
Okay. Guardians is good. It's very action-packed and it moves fast, but it didn't feel visceral. And I like brutal action shooters more than necessarily a lot of cerebral shooters.
Okay.
I would put The Division as a cerebral shooter. It's not a visceral one. I would put Gears in the visceral box. I would put Bulletstorm in the Visceral box. Right. I would put definitely Doom and Quake in the Visceral box.
Oh, man, that Quake doll. Anyway.
Okay, like, but it's been a while since we've had Visceral.
That's very true.
We've done a lot of very cerebral, and we've done a lot of real story-based. You know, you look at where, you know, Call of Duty went with Advanced Warfare on.
Right.
And it's not necessarily Visceral anymore, unless you're in multiplayer.
No, that's far more tactical.
It's much more tactical. Realistic. You know, you look at Battlefield before, you know, up to Battlefield 1. It was much more tactical, much more strategic, not necessarily Visceral. So I'm looking forward to getting Visceral back in. I think very much in the same line as you're excited about everything that seems to be going on with survival horror coming out of E3, coming back and really getting treated well and respected, I think is kind of the thing that I'm noticing coming out of E3, is that the genre is being respected again. And I think that the Visceral shooter is being respected again, because everything goes in waves, right?
Yep.
It's popular for a while, and then everybody does it, and so then it's
and then rinse it and loses repeat. Its appeal,
it loses, and it goes away, and then everybody goes, "Wow, I'm missing blah blah blah," and then
conveniently, right when you're really like feeling it, boom! By the way, here it is.
Right. We're I'm excited for Gears to come back, because I'm excited for that Visceral shooter again. Like there's nothing like taking a chainsaw to a Lambent. There's just nothing like it. Like, you could take a chainsaw.
It's like taking cold ass butter, jacking it up, and then slamming it on that hot piece of toast.
And looking
classic.
At some of the new weapons in the game, they respect the brutal
visceral.
Thank you. Nature.
I'm surprised I said that correctly, because I was expecting to fuck that up.
Of their platform, and that's the thing that people love so much about Gears, is the story plus that nature plus just these unbelievable weapons.
Well, I feel like the mechanics of that game speak to the universe that they're in.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's why you feel so connected, because you're like, man, I can relate to this, because it's all gun and run, or you're dead, or, you know, you have to be able to think on your feet and move, and always be in the moment, because the minute you're not thinking about your survival, you're dead.
Right, and I think that's the reason why Rail does so well with some people. I'm not a Rail fan. Like, I appreciate it, and I appreciate people that love Rail games, but I'm not a Rail shooter girl. Like, it just is way too much going on. I do need to be led by the nose a little bit through a story, and, like, I can do arena, but I need, like, a set arena, and I need a goal at the end of that arena. That's
I need
clear.
Something shiny that I want.
You know, and so, and Gears probably was some of the more enjoyable multiplayer that I've ever done. Most of which
that.
I did with you, but I really do enjoy the Gears multiplayer. I don't do Call of Duty multiplayer. I can't do Call of Duty multiplayer, because there's just too many douches.
I think there are too many people who, one, are very seasoned in a certain way to play, which is why when you could change payloads and like mm-hmm. how you set yourself up, when they change certain stats and abilities in the newer games, that people are like, you fucked up my class, because then you fucked up their security mm-hmm. when they would go and pwn your ass in multiplayer. And I think that Gears gave everyone that staple ability, and it was up to you to figure out how you were going to make your character work with people who could do the exact same things you could.
Yeah.
Where was your addition to this group?
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I mean, when we used to play, I think we used to play with Alpha Box back in the day.
Yeah, we played with Alpha
and
a
like,
bunch.
And maybe, I think Binary a little bit once
we played
in a while.
Binary a little bit. We played with Mayor Young a couple of times. But primarily, it was us and Alpha that were running around.
And literally, like, it would just be like, I've got the snipe, because I've got that, I was pretty good with the clear shot. And
yeah,
then,
you're a damn good sniper.
If I can get a vantage point, which, granted, not in Overwatch.
We'll talk about Overwatch at some point.
Not in Overwatch yet, but I'm working on it.
Hey, I've got you. I am, like, Zenyatta like a motherfucker. I got you.
Man, I am,
That's my dude.
I be smacking turrets.
Yo.
I be smacking turrets with my thing. I be ice walling it up. People hate when I'm May. Like,
yo.
I hate to detract from
all right, we're going to go, like, for a hot second, we're going to go into Overwatch. I got you on the Zenyatta and what's-her-face, the healer,
the Mercy.
Mercy. Yeah, I got you. Those are my two, like,
so
that's where I am.
I have to say my strongest three, in order of best to least, is May, Trog,
yeah.
Born,
yeah,
and then I got Widowmaker on the end. because, like, for one, May is bae. Like, I wish, and I'm going to regret saying this, but it's going to be recorded, so for history. Like, if I felt confident enough to cosplay...
No, but she's chunky. You can do it.
But I ain't white, doll.
You don't have to. There's no race in cosplay. But no, you could cosplay. You could totally be May. We'll do, like, little bunnies and everything.
And
it'll be awesome.
And, man, by the way, like, I've had so many heated debates over the fact that May is curvy.
No, I love it. It's awesome. May is bae.
But, like... People are like, she's not fat. I'm like, I didn't say she's chunky. Fat. She got baby birth and hips, y'all, okay?
No, she's chunky Chinese, and it's awesome.
Like,
it's
awesome. I love it. But no, like,
I'm all about...
Aw, dumpling.
Right?
But I'm all about that May Widowmaker combo deal. Granted, if you really want to be a cheap punk-ass bitch, be Bastion.
I've never played Bastion.
Oh my god, he is completely and utterly old fucking pee!
I've never played Bastion. I tend to be best with Zenyatta, Mercy, Reaver.
And I'm also really good with Reinhardt, too.
See, I haven't played Reinhardt yet. Like,
he is such a good defense character if you can hold your shield up.
And I try to be D.Va, but I usually always get blown the hell out of my robot.
I can't play D.Va because I've watched too much Overwatch porn.
Oh, well, that's your problem. Yeah. You did that to yourself.
Yep.
I stayed far away from that so that I could actually continue to enjoy the game.
Oh, I'm going to be...
But I will say this. I did buy one cache of loot boxes.
Okay.
Because I was like, I need...
I will admit this.
I'm not going to earn these fast enough.
Sadly, I honestly feel like the Overwatch porn is what made me go, that animation's really good. I should look into that game.
Wow!
Yep.
Wow.
And it was hilarious because the fiance's like, are you watching? I'm like, shh.
Wow. Okay.
And then I'm like, we should buy this game, babe.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, I'm an adult. I'm
wowing at the fact that the animated porn for a game made you interested in the game.
Yeah. It really
That's is. What I'm wowing. Like, I'm wowing that thought process. And then, like, wow, D.Va takes dick really well. I should probably play the game.
Well, like, there's a lot
of
her
And then you're like, but
it.
Then I can't play her because I'm,
well,
like...
it's a little awkward.
Okay, let's not go into it. Back to E3. Back to E3.
Okay.
Back to E3.
So, since we brought up Call of Duty, let's talk a little bit about that. Because what a bait and switch that was. Because as that was playing out, I was like, space, okay. Got me on that. Okay. We're, like, using, like, freaking, like... pulley strings to, like, catapult, and then I saw the freaking the icon for where you go, and I'm like, this is Call of Duty.
So here's the thing. So I'm watching the chat, our live chat go, and people talking, because I had TweetDeck open, so I'm watching everybody using our hashtag, and everybody just using the hashtag for the event and stuff. Now, as soon as it came on, like, as soon as the guy came out to the briefing table, I knew that it was Infinite War. Okay? Because I play... a lot of Call of Duty.
Right.
Single player. So I'm very familiar with the art style. So as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was.
I think everyone had a different reaction, like, what is... And then the lights all started flickering.
Okay. It was so funny to watch people in this chat, because they're like, is this a VR game? Like, this looks amazing. It's Dead Space, this. And other people, I'm like... And I'm laughing to myself, because I'm like, everybody's been shitting on Call of Duty for the last two games.
Very true.
And when they reveal this title, everybody is going to lose their fucking shit.
I was sitting on my couch... And my fiancé works in the gaming industry, but I won't discuss exactly what he does. But he is very, very jaded, because when you live in it, it's not very new and exciting.
Right.
Like, he's looking at, like, well, that frame rate sucks. That ping didn't go off. I'm like, I don't need to hear the technical bullshit. You're ruining my magic. Shut up. And we're watching this, and he's just like, and he loves space. Anything with space. And he's like, this, I think I'll play. And I'm like, I bet it's Call of Duty Infinite War. And then all of a sudden, jumped out like, called it, motherfucker! Called it! And he's like, I knew that. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't, because you wouldn't have smiled, because he hates Call of Duty. So and I'm like, yep. And now you're going to have to play it, because it's in space.
but the rarest
of Pepes.
But here's the thing. Seriously, the rarest
of Pepes.
Right. But here's the thing about it. It was really interesting to me, like, when the title ran, of, like, just how fucking fast the thing went off. Like, this is Call of Duty? Bullshit.
Yeah.
I call bullshit. And other people were like, well, shit, maybe I'll have to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. It's very difficult when you have a franchise that is so big and lasted so long to innovate every single game that comes out. There are a bunch of Call of Duty games that, yes, they are literally rinse and repeats of the games that came before. There's only so much you can do with...
Now they're gonna kill space dogs.
I'm a guy with a gun. Maybe with other people, maybe not with other people. I have an objective. I have to shoot them. Like, it's very difficult to make that feel new and fresh every time.
Add space.
Okay. However,
this, I think, is going to be an interesting
series. I think that Infinite War is going to be the Call of Duty game, if they do it right, that reinvigorates the franchise among shooter fans. Because I think it will have a little bit of everything in there for everyone. Like you said, people who like missions that are involved in space.
They love Dead Space. And now we've got a polished, you know, shooting system in space.
There's no way that you can look at that demo and not be like, I need to try this in my life.
I mean, granted, on top of that, then you also had the fact that they remastered fucking Modern Warfare, which people, like, as soon as I saw fucking Price in the ghillie suit, I was like, shit, they remastered it, what? Because I loved Modern Warfare. Like, that's what made me go, maybe I can play multiplayer. No.
Modern Warfare 2 was the Call of Duty that got me back into shooters. So Bulletstorm was the game that got me back into shooters in general. Warfare 2 was the one that got me back into Call of Duty. Because I had left Call of Duty long before that. And I think you and I played some 3 multiplayer together.
Some. Very, very little. But yes.
And I think 3 was the one that I beat first before you.
Yes. Yes, you did.
And I made it to the museum, and I did not press the button. And you went to the museum, and you did press the button.
Did press the button.
And then you called me. It's one of the few times you called me. And you're like, I shouldn't have pressed the button. And then they were like, did you press the button?
Oh, man.
Hell no, I didn't press the button. And I said, do not press the button. I did not press it.
Which is the story of my life. Don't tell me what I can't do, because then I'll do it and then regret it.
Look, if a game tells you not to press a button...
Sorry, most of the games that I play, I'm in situations that I don't want to do. So clearly it's like, well, maybe this time it will be different.
You're in a situation where you don't want to press the button and they tell you you have to press the button.
Right.
If they tell you don't press the
button, don't
press the button. It's very simple. Because something bad is going to happen. Like, every enemy in that room is going to gear up and come after your ass.
Yep.
That's what happened. But I do think that you know, there's a very real probability, again, if done well and done right, that Infinite War will reinvigorate the thing. Plus, Kit Harington's gonna be the bad guy.
Jon Snow finally knows something.
Yeah, and it's probably about where the nukes are. Because you know it always ends up being about
the nukes and the codes.
It's always about the nukes and the codes. And who lied about having the nukes and the codes?
I have the codes. No, you don't.
You've got fake codes. I've got the real ones, and they're tattooed in the back of my skull.
It's like me and 5 of my individuals all have a number, and you don't know what the order is, and only I do. So don't shoot me.
Exactly.
Oh my god, that'd actually be a really interesting twist.
That would.
Anyway, moving right along. So, I want to jump here because I remember our pre-E3 show, I was like, where my survival horror at? Like, I was so upset that no one was, like, leaking stuff.
Are you about to talk about Naked Rita's?
I'm going to end on that because you always got to end on the best fucking note.
Kojima is bae.
So, first and foremost, I want to talk a little bit about RE7 because
that one surprised me. I didn't know which one that was.
I played Kitchen. Okay, like, we went to PAX East, and I went to that survival horror panel, and I got looped into playing this VR that they were calling Kitchen. Which, if you watched Capcom, and you saw the trailer for Resident Evil, or you saw the gameplay for it, you see that your character finds a videotape that he then plays, and literally, the AVI that reads on it is Kitchen. And then it plays the part that you actually play in Kitchen, where you're in a chair and there's a body and he's like kind of half dead and he's trying to get you out of the chair. And like, and they waited to show that. So as we're watching it, I'm like, this IP looks fresh. Like, this kind of has like collector meets like all the really good steps in horror that we've seen in a while. And then as soon as you saw that tape, I'm like, please don't tell me that this is going to turn into like, you know, The Ring. Because the first minute I saw it, that's what I thought. And then when it
played that and it showed, like, the time reader and it saying, you know, Kitchen AVA. And I was like, oh my god, it's the same game. It's the same. And then when they dropped fucking RE7, I lost my shit. And the fiance can attest to it, because I'm like, there it is, baby, back to fucking basics. Shit, I hope it's not VR, because I can't play that shit. Oh my god. And, like, of course, after that, they're like, the demo's available now, which I then bought, and then, well, not bought, but then downloaded and played, and, yeah, fun.
Yeah, so let me tell you about my RE7 experience. So they started that, and I was like, well, there's some shit I'm not going to buy.
It's like, not going to touch it.
Right?
Not going to touch it.
So here's how I watched the Sony briefing. So we actually had it up on the big TV here as opposed to on my computer in my office space, because I have my Mac Mini connected, because I could not get the media loader on the PlayStation to actually load it. It would not actually buffer.
Oh.
So the PlayStation box could not actually play the PlayStation briefing. So I finally gave up on it, turned my Mac on, and had my Mac play it full screen in the YouTube. So I'm sitting on my couch, get my iPad open so I can chattity chats. Kicking it back, got the lights dimmed, had a little popcorn, you know, we're rets to go. Had the foot propped up, beautiful. Husband was with me, dog was with me,
protected.
I'm nerding the fuck out, right? In my nerd space.
Right, yes.
Again, the lights were dim. So this one starts, and I start cowering at different things, because as soon as they started fast-cutting to stuff, I'm like, all right, it's a horror game, and I'm not even going to play. So I'm like, I'm trying to focus more on the chat, and I'm waiting to see your reactions to things.
Oh, man.
So I'm trying not to watch what's going on the screen, but I can't really avoid it.
No, especially because your TV be big.
My TV be big. And my lights was dim. So it was just all this coming in. So I'm getting, like, more and more uncomfortable because, of course, it's dark. Because it's, like, 11 o'clock at night on the East Coast when this one's running off. So I start shrinking violet. My dog realizes that I'm anxious.
Oh, God.
And jumps up on my shoulder and starts looking at my face like, what's wrong, buddy?
It's like, it's okay.
And I'm like, I'm fine, Nugget. It's cool. Chill out. We're good. So the thing pops up. And I'm like, yeah, fucking nope. And what is this? And I mentioned,
I know
something.
Some people thought it was going to be Outlast.
Yeah.
Because it has,
like,
a very strong Outlast-y feel.
It did. And I was like, what is this? Is this, I didn't think it was Outlast. I thought it was something else. And one of our friends.
Alone in the Dark?
I didn't think it was
Alone in the
Dark. Because
some people thought it was, like,
it would have made sense if it was. But I was like, is this, I think I might have said, is this the new Kojima thing? And one of the people, before it had even run yet, one of the guys who was following along with the chat, he's like, no, trust me, it's RE7. And no sooner he said that, it popped up, and I was like, well, Panda's gonna buy this one.
Yeah.
And you were on Twitter like, yes, I am. and then when they said, and demo's available today, I was like,
and she got it. I did.
And she got it.
Yeah.
I'm not touching it, because again...
Well, here's the thing.
Thriller I like.
Right.
Which is why it kills me about Kojima's new game, which I know you're going to talk about later, because I know I'm not going to play it. I want to play it. My body wants me
to
try.
No, your mind wants you to try.
Yeah, let me phrase that.
Your body's like, no,
yeah.
No,
my mind and my heart is like, support Kojima, because he deserves it, and he's made some of your more favorite games in the world, and
but your fear is like, run!
Okay, but my nervous system is like, bitch, stop talking shit.
It's like, do you not remember, Jason?
You not about this life.
Right.
Do you remember when you tried to play Until Dawn, bitch?
Right.
Remember that?
So.
Remember that, though?
But anyway, so let me talk a little bit about what we saw in the RE5 trailer. So if you happen to have been one of those lucky few who got to experience Kitchen, you kind of know some of the stuff that could potentially happen in our... Now, granted, they're saying that the demo does not 100% influence what's going to happen in the game.
Everybody I know that played the demo usually responded on social as either, no, shit my pants, peed my pants, holy shit, that's good.
I said, holy shit, that's good, I also have to pee.
Or, nope, nope.
So, in Kitchen, the VR experience that they were showing. You come to in a chair and you're bound to it, which in the VH tape in that trailer, that's what happens to you. And you don't know who you are, you don't know how you got there, and there's a body on the ground. And it looks kind of messed up. And at first, it's not moving, so you assume that they've already been maimed and are dead. Eventually, that body begins to move and gets to you and does eventually set you free, depending on if you've been trying to wiggle out or not. So the VR experience, they actually had certain cues that depending on what you were doing in your VR set would kind of influence what happened in this kitchen. In that experience for me, because I was like, let me see if I can move enough. Let me see if I can like wiggle enough and like maybe get a burn or cause my character to react in some way. And he grunted because it is a he. And the body kind of woke up and was like, oh man, and like all groggy and all dirty and messed up and hurt, and manages to come over and does manage to free me. And at the point that he manages to do that, he gets stabbed through the back and through his chest. And there's a really disheveled mess of what appears to be a woman that has done that. And at that point, my character is away from her and I'm trying to, because there was a prompt to get out. And you had to navigate out of, and I believe we're in the basement. I believe. I'm not sure exactly where in the space. I did not make it out. And at the end of that experience, the girl who kind of led me, and God did, what a great way of luring people into trying an experience. But literally she's like, just so you know, of the 10 people who have played today, you were the closest. And she's like, other people didn't even make it out of the chair. And I'm like, that sucks. Because that means that woman-ish thing, because, like, she slowly slices at you, she slices off pieces of, like, your face and stuff, she stabs you in the gut, and you, like, bleed out, like, Arya Stark style Game of Thrones. Spoiler if you haven't seen that episode. But she's like, you were the closest. And I was like, great. I feel really good about my survival skills a little bit. But in the trailer for RE7, you see these three, or you at least, you see two, because you're one. And you are a cameraman who takes, you know, does the camera shots for, like, creepy, like, haunted house, like, sleaze, like a sleaze show. And the guy that you're recording is completely like that LA douchebag who's like, I was an anchor, I used to be established, this is beneath me, blah, 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 blah. And then you've got his PR guy who's like, no, this will be great. We'll go in, we'll do some spooky shots, we'll, like, look at some, like, old smelly shit, we'll react, and then we'll leave. Like, completely business. And they're like, the house doesn't seem all that threatening at first, it just looks like it's abandoned. And then, by the way, you're getting exposition through them walking through the beginning parts of the house. Like, oh, there was a family of three that was here. And honestly, while they were doing this part, my mind wasn't triggering to me Resident Evil. It really gave me Silent Hill Homecoming. Because in Silent Hill Homecoming, you go back to your hometown, mm-hmm. your character's hometown, and you're navigating through your family's house and all these secrets and stuff. So the fact that we're going back to, like, a person's individual house, I'm like, whatever this, I'm like, are we going Silent Hills and we're going into a personalized story? Is this going to be, like, a small subset-y thing that will lead to something bigger? I wasn't sure because of the deflections that they were giving us. But right. They were all good note. And as they're going through the house, the minute you walk through, you see stairs going up to a dark place of nope. And then you see some lights that lead you into the kitchen. And as you're walking by the steps, the anchor guy is like, where'd the fucking PR guy go? And, like, you don't hear him anymore. And the minute you don't hear anybody, there's reason for that. And anchor guy's like, you follow me, Ben. Like, don't you leave. Because that fuckbag, he's going to try to fuck with us. And I know it because he wants the reaction. But you stay on me. We'll get through this, whatever. And you go through the kitchen. And it's kind of gross. And there's a pot. And the pot has some gross old shit in it. And the anchor guy's like, yeah, there was a family here. There was something wrong with their son, Lucas. He was completely unstable. And then all of a sudden, like, they all just kind of disappeared. Now, mind you, the house is completely and utterly realistic and gave a very strong PT vibe. Like, the realism is really kind of, they've knocked it up since, they've brought it up a notch since 6, which was abysmal, as we all know. And at one point, you go through this back hallway and you find this hatch in the floor and you open it up and there's a ladder. At that point, I'm like, all right.
There's a ladder in the kitchen?
There's a ladder in the floor that goes to an underground tunnel.
That's when you get out.
Right?
You think. You get out.
You think.
You leave. No, you leave.
So, anyway, so at that point, I'm thinking...
That's a dungeon.
I'm like, okay, Anchorman. Like, I'm thinking he's going to go down there and kind of be brave. And no, he's like, after you, cameraman. So, like, you have to go down there. And I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, you have to get a shot of me heroically going down this ladder, which, you know, obviously in this type of setup, that's exactly what would happen. So then down you go, down the ladder you go. And he's like, do you see anything? And at that part in the freaking trailer, I'm like, don't turn around, don't do it. But of course they have to, because they have to bait you. And the character turns around and there's a body. Like the guy, your PR guy is standing with his face to the wall. Instant black, like Blair Witch Project. I'm like, aw, shit. I'm like, whatever happened to that guy, it's down here, whoever it is, and like, he's not allowed to react, and if he reacts, he's gonna die. And of course, like, cameraman walks over to him, touches his shoulder, and the body drops, and his eyes have been gouged out, and his tongue's gone, and I'm like, fuck! And of course, that's when you get hit, and that's when, you wake up in the chair. And it's the cameraman from that scenario who's in the chair in kitchen. And the guy on the floor is the star of the show who is then at that point trying to get you out. And then he gets murdered. And that's where they dropped it in the RE7. And I was like, holy shit, that was amazing. I did play the demo because you were absolutely right. The minute they were like, the demo's available, I was like, hashtag got it right now. Not playing today because I'd like to go to sleep and have happy dreams. Reaction to the demo, holy fucking shit. Because everything that they showed us with you navigating through the house and seeing that body moving around, that does happen in the demo. You do experience that. And the only prompt you get is to get out of the house. And boy, do they play with you. They play so many notions on, you could just go out this door or not. And let me just tell you that notion that you think you've got it beat and then you get dragged in is so, the feel is real. Because, like, they set it up and I did everything right because, you know, I play a lot of survival horror games. I happen to really love the narrative. I love a lot of the mechanics. I love that fight or flight, which is really weird because I'm a giant pussy and I don't like to be scared in real life, and I play games that really kind of
react. Because you know that it is a safe space for you to be scared.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I do it at 6 in the morning when the sun's up and nothing can happen. Nothing scary can happen during the day.
Yeah, no.
In my mind, and yeah. I know it's wrong. In the demo, you do all that, you find the tape, you see all that stuff, and you find a key and there's a red door, and there's light, and you open the door, and the sun's out, and you look like you're about to walk into safety, and you hear this voice go, sorry, son, not today, and you get knocked out. And then, scroll text, the family expects you, and they drop the date. So we got The Hills Have Eyes, meet The Collector, meet old school survival horror, meet fuckity yep. Nope, hashtag nope, hopefully nope, not nope, VR. Nope, nope. So God, I'm so glad that we really got a sense of back to basics. I mean, I know a few weeks before that I had talked about Visage or whatever the fuck it's called. Visage. And I was like, I love this because it gave you all those sweet notes that you want. And I'm like, you know, I know that we weren't getting Allison Road anymore and PT was long and gone. And then a miracle happened. And I'm gonna say this right now, that when all that stuff started to show up and we had the beach and we had the dead animals, the dead crabs, and all that stuff. For someone who's played a lot of Silent Hills and read a lot of theories and stuff, where death is a really strong focal point in the Silent Hills series, that as soon as I saw that and I saw, you know, the footprints well, I don't know if they're actual handprints or footprints because I don't believe they are human, whatever they were, but when they started leading up to a body and then I saw the baby attached, it instantly brought me back to PT. And I was like, oh my God, we're getting Silent Hills. And my fiance is like, no, we're not. It's been dead forever. I'm like, no, but Kojima has his own production. I'm like, and Sony is fucking smart because they found a way to, like, help boost him or do whatever they needed to do to get him back in the swing of stuff. I know he was working on stuff before all that, but thank you, Sony, for being awesome and being supportive and wanting to publish the shit, because one, you're gonna make so much money.
So much money.
And two, so like, Kojima's a fucking genius. And as soon as I saw the baby, I was like, and here comes Norman Reedus with his face. Boom, there it is, baby. And I'm like, And I was like, Silent Hills, Silent Hills. Like, I had it. I had it in my mind. And, like, as soon as the title came out, I'm like, that's not Silent Hills. But I'm going to play it anyway. Because in my mind, obviously, I know that Konami still has the rights to do stuff with Silent Hills, so he couldn't name it that even if he wanted to. But from the look of it, like, there are so many different things that happened in that trailer that make me think of it, because, one, we did have that baby. So clearly this character has a tie to life or innocence, which PT kind of distorts, because, you know, the dead baby fetus in the sink in PT, if you
sure
ever got. No. Well, there's a dead baby in the fetus. There's a dead baby fetus in the, well, I don't think it's dead, but I do think it's dead and it's talking to you. But anyway, and, you know, and Norman Reedus has it, and he's all, like, hugging it, and he's all supportive of it, and then all of a sudden it disappears, and it shoots up to those five entity that they looked humanoid from far away. I'm imagining they're spirits of some kind. Like, so much introspection from that. And you see all five of them. And I remember from PT, you know, you had Lisa, you had the father, and you had an older son, a young girl who was in the bathroom, and the baby, and it was five. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, I wonder if, like, all the things that he would have put into Silent Hills, he's now found another way to give us those things outside of the Silent Hill universe.
Here's my thing, and it's the thing that drives me crazy about Death Stranding, is...
Oh my god, yes! All the yachts!
Right. But then also all the new...
All the yachts!
Because here's the thing, Kojima has always done a really good job of scaring the bejesus out of me.
He understands how to properly build fear.
And here's my thing, with the way that things look like they're going in the industry right now, VR is definitely real hot and heavy.
I know, yes.
And there are a couple of VR things I'm going to talk about, because I have now been convinced to jump on the VR bandwagon because of E3.
Wow.
And so I'm going to be working on getting a PlayStation VR set up. Actually, two, because I have to play Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Yep. I saw that, and I'm like, Ninja's gonna get that.
Yeah, I gotta play that. My thing is, Kojima knows how to make a great game. Kojima has always known how to make a great game. His teams have always put together exceptional experiences. Very creative experiences.
I agree.
Okay, and you know how much I appreciate that. I don't appreciate having the piss scared out of me.
He has an eye and an aesthetic.
I tried to play PT.
I know you did.
I could not do it.
I know.
I physically could not deal with it. And I love the puzzles, you know, aspect of it.
Oh my god.
I love solving puzzles.
The elements of that were...
But...
were new and innovative. Well, here's the thing.
Wait, I'm trying to do my thing about Death Stranding now.
Okay.
Because I really, like, my brain really wants me to play it. Like, really wants me to play it. But my heart and my immune system know that it's probably going to have a VR component.
I agree.
Because Kojima has always been one to really want to use all of the ways that you interact with the game to be part of interacting with the game. Like, remember, like, he was the first one to use the whole memory card thing.
Yes, and yes.
Okay, so there's no way...
Fucking Laughing Mantis! Fucking hate Praying Mantis!
So there's no way, working with Sony, that he's not going to employ VR. And the thing that terrifies me is that with the VR setup, you've got a headset directly connected to you, and you've got your entire visual spectrum taken over,
yep,
by a guy who's really good at using all of your senses against you.
Right.
To freak you the fuck out.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna get freaked the fuck out. And I'm not gonna be able to handle it. Because it doesn't matter if it's daytime when you're in a VR setup.
That's right.
You can't tell.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
So my brain's like, I know you want to support this, but you can't
this
actually...
This is why you find someone who gonna play it, and you support them however you can. If that's tissues, towels, hugs, after the fact...
Video recording. But this is not for you. You know, you want it to be for you, but no, it's not for you. Yeah. So, like, my brain is like...
My brain says, Amanda, you can run a marathon. Then my body's like, shut the fuck up.
Exactly. So, like, where I'm living is that I am going to probably, like, buy some, like, merch for Death Stranding, like a t-shirt or maybe a hoodie, you know, and that's the way that I will contribute to show my support financially, because I can't buy this game. Because I mean,
you could buy the game, but you wouldn't play it.
I can't play it. It's not like I wouldn't play it. I can't play it. I know that I can't play it, which sucks, because I want to know what the fuck is going on with this game. I want to know what those beings were in the sky. I want to know.
I think, like I said, I think they're spirits, and I think, I don't think.
But are they guiding spirits, or are they angry?
I think they're angry. Here's the thing. So I mean, I know they're playing up. Oh, Norman Reedus is on an island, and then you know, like, oh, he's stranded on an island. That's why it's Death Stranding. I'm like, no. I'm like, we're playing.
It's not Death Stranded.
No, it's Stranding. And here's the thing. In my mind, because he's, you know, Kojima's always been about symbolism. And this saying, which I'm probably going to butcher because I've never memorized anecdotes or platitudes correctly. But that one about no man being an island.
Mm-hmm.
I totally think is playing up this whole scenario of him being stranded in himself and in his psyche. And it has personified itself as this island with all these the remnants of all this wrongdoing that this character has possibly done, and him trying to come to terms with accepting what he's done, having to relive it so that he can accept it and cleanse himself. And he's stranded in this, and it all has to do with death. And that's what I think
it's
gonna,
that's why I'm gonna wanna play it, but I know,
and I think it's gonna build on that.
So let me talk about things that I can play.
Okay.
And again, you know, we're not going to be able to get to all of this, which is why we're going to dissect everything and talk about it for a long time.
Several episodes.
Okay, I told you guys in our last podcast that I needed a ship date for Last Guardian. Or
and we got one!
And I got it, which is great.
Merry Christmas!
I will be picking up Last Guardian. I'm probably going to play it a couple of times, minimum. I think for me, you know, I said I wanted more on, you know, Fractured But Whole. Got that.
Yep. Oh my god, Days Gone? I'm really interested in that.
I knew you would be. I'm not.
Because that also has a Last of Us, but like...
It has a Last of Us.
I thought it was going to be DLC. DLC
it
for
feels,
Last of Us.
It's like Last of Us meets
plus Dying
Zombies.
Dying Light.
For Mom. Call of Duty. That's the feel that I got, was just like everything coming at you and not stopping.
At first
stopping.
I was thinking Brothers in Arms Hell Highway because of the motorcycles.
Yeah, that would
but
make
then
sense
zombies.
Too. Yeah.
And then I was like, so it's Last of Us meets Hell's Highway meets, and I'm like,
State of Decay kinda.
Yeah. So like it hit a lot of notes that I'm like,
which
I
State of Decay too.
Oh my god. Yes.
Right? Like, I was like, you must have been having, like, a great E3. Like, Death Stranding, RE7, State of Decay 2, Ben Gone. Like, I was like,
yeah,
well, you must be in love.
Oh, my God.
Days Gone, yeah.
Yes.
So my big things, like I said, God of War was really high up there. I'm personally still not on board with Horizon Zero Dawn. And the only reason why...
It's got a strong Far Cry-y primal feel.
And that's the thing. And I'm like, I haven't finished a Far Cry. They've just been so...
Big.
Big! Oh. Like, and I can't manage, like, all that was in there. Like, I didn't finish Primal.
Okay.
And it feels very much like Primal to me. And I'm just like, it's too big.
It's primal with tech.
It's just, it's too big, it's too much. It looks really cool, and I love the female lead, but like, as they were going through that mission and all the different ways you could take the robot down, I was like, it's a little bit much for me. I still prefer, I personally am not completely ready for a no-holds-bar, open sandbox.
Okay.
You're
not
like
ready
that.
For that.
I'm not ready for that. Like, I need, like, here's where you are, here's where you need to be, and these are the steps that you need to do to get there.
Me,
you
I'm could, like, what's under this rock?
You
what's
could,
up this tree?
You could maybe go over here, or you could maybe go over there, but this is where you actually
really
want to go.
This is where you're going to end up, whether you like it or not.
I still need that in a game. I'm not ready yet for, like, you
got
can do
it.
Anything at any point in time. You don't ever have to finish the story. Like, I don't enjoy that.
All right, I do.
Yet.
I still have to finish the story in Skyrim. Because I just did all the side shit.
Because...
So much side shit.
Because I like to get through a tale. And I haven't seen anything yet that has led me to any kind of tale or story yet in Horizon.
Okay.
You know, everything that I've seen has been like, this is one level, this is how you take down like this thing, and look at the amazing ginormous techno giraffe. And I'm like, okay, that's nice, that's great, like, it's gorgeous. But I still don't know anything about her. I don't know anything about...
Like, why is she a salvager? What does she need these for? What kind of world
are we in? What happened to the world, and what is it that I'm actually off on the path for? You know, I've read the fact sheets, so now I have that background, but none of the gameplay or the video that I've seen promoting it has given me that yet. And so I'm not there yet with Zero Dawn. I think I'll get there, though, but I'm not there yet.
I mean, where...
However, there... with Detroit. And like I told you on the podcast, I was like, nobody's heard anything from Quantic in a long time.
Here's the thing. So, like, Detroit, when we first saw, like, the little mini thing about it, and then we saw the character who looked eerily like J-Law, I was like, sign me up. I'll press X to Jason all the times. Every times. And then we see it here. And we meet Connor. And we see how a situation could play out 4 to 5 different ways. And as it's playing, like, I see the little circle thing. So I'm like, yep, this is Detroit. And my fiance's like, you mean Chicago? I'm like, no, it's called Detroit. Don't even fucking play it. And like, and I'm waiting for the J-Law character to show up. But that's not who they're showing. So at first I'm like, did they take out J-Law? Did they take out the J-Law and give us Connor? Don't get me wrong. I'm completely...
I don't think that they took out the J-Law.
I think this Connor is somehow going to interact with this J-Law-y typing character. I mean, I was so conflicted while watching this. Because, like, okay, here's Connor. Here's this negotiator. Like, they set him up. You know, and, like... And you're thinking about all those robot movies where clearly, you know, robots aren't supposed to be able to harm humans. I think there's, like, a law... There's, like, some law or order about AI not being able to cause harm and blah, blah, blah. And the what makes morality and what doesn't and any of that stuff. Here comes this robot to talk down this other robot who has this human girl on this top of this building. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, I love that there's so many different bad ends where clearly the path that you want is not the most easily obtained. But you kind of felt for this kid, this AI that is holding this kid hostage. Because clearly... You know,
there are two sides to every story.
But, like, and it's affecting all of this AI or symbiote or what android, whatever you want to call them, cyborgs. Like, it's affecting all of them differently, and this consciousness that is making them feel like, you know, their rights are being alienated and that they're all becoming human and there's a price for it. I was like, oh my god, yes. I'm like, oh my, yes, more
and
yes,
not,
more yes,
not to
more
just,
yes.
You know, ride Sony's jock, but...
Oh my god, I am presenting, enter.
But as far as, you know, the briefings go, like, Sony's briefing to me was the one that, one, used the least amount of words and just presented the most amount of games. It was just
I love
like,
the fact that we saw games being played in real time.
Yeah, and that's really important. It's very interesting that Sony just was like, hey... We've got games. And by the way, here's some more games. And guess what? VR experience, game, and games. Thank you so much for watching. Here's another game. They didn't talk about, you know, their tech other than VR. I think that it was a smart move on their part to just be like, look, here's what's coming in the immediate future and then the not-so-distant future.
I agree.
And, you know, as far as the other briefings go, there were a lot of things that I enjoyed as well. You know, Bridge Crew... That Ubisoft, that VR experience, you know, where you'll get to pilot the fucking Enterprise. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Of course you want to do that. Of course you want to do that. Of course you're going to get VR to do that.
Yep.
Okay, and the fact that you can do that on everything is the bee's motherfucking knees.
Because
you can do it on Oculus, because they said they're bringing it to every VR experience. So that means Oculus will have it, Vive will have it, PlayStation VR will have it. So, done. That's the thing that sold me on VR, because I have to play that. And not just because you had LeVar Burton, who I contest is the geek of geeks, the nerd of nerds, not Will Wheaton. Because Will Wheaton didn't fucking run Reading Rainbow, biznitches.
I know.
Okay.
He was all about, you need to read.
Okay.
Read a book.
Will Wheaton, not the nerd of nerds, it's actually LeVar Burton. Who goes to E3 every year because he loves video games. Okay, so fuck off everybody on the Will Wheaton thing. Although Will Wheaton, I have respect for you. But LeVar Burton is the nerd of nerds. Okay, stepping back.
Why can't they just be super best friends and then just have a...
They are!
They should be perfect strangers and, like, live in a house and be geeky nerds together.
I would watch that show.
I would. All right. If I had money, I would endorse that show.
So, Star Trek Bridge Crew convinced me to get VR. I knew that. Done deal. Fractured Butthole. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I pre-ordered it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to. But I didn't do, like, the ridiculous collector's edition. I just got the digital download. I did pre-order it because, I mean, come on. Okay. I mean,
Come on.
It's South Park. It's now this superhero version of the kids playing games. Okay, when they started running through the whole how they were going to do their movies and get to phase three argument, I was like, and there's my money. That's exactly how you explain why they're playing superheroes. Because Cartman has it in his head that he's going to make bank like Marvel. Of course. Right. Of course, Matt and Trey. Of course. Guys, you have me. And you know, I don't like RPGs. But I fucking love Stick of Truth.
I know you did.
So I know I'm going to fucking love Fractured Butthole. So here's my money.
I love the play on Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Like butthole. Like right. The hole of your butt.
Right.
And it's because fractured.
It's South Park. Okay? Like, done deal, guys. Done deal. Okay? So that had me. I'm still on the fence about Watch Dogs 2. After watching and seeing more of the game and the lead character, you know, when he started his infiltration and they played Don't Sweat the Technique, I was almost ready to put money down.
I'm surprised.
I felt burnt. I felt burnt by Watch Dogs 1.
I agree.
It looks like in 2 they figured out how not to be so damn ambitious. So I'm still on the fence about that one. But between Bridge Crew, between the X-Wing experience for VR, and frankly, For Honor's looking great, because I went hands-on with it last year, and it felt good.
But it wasn't there yet?
It wasn't there yet, and it looks like they've really polished it off. Okay. And so it does, because it's a brawler. And you know how I feel about my brawlers.
Yes.
I'm very picky about my brawlers. But For Honor is definitely looking better. I would, again, wish that I had been there so I could have gone hands-on with it. But between Bridge Crew and the X-Wing experience and VR in general, like, Yubi's gonna get my money and, duh, remastered Splinter Cell. I mean, duh. You know how I feel about Splinter Cell.
Now, is it really sad that out of the treehouse for Nintendo, that I didn't watch it, the fiance did, and I'm just like, let me know when they announce the Zelda. Let me know what the name is. And he did, which I think it's Breath in the Wind, something like that.
I don't know, I didn't watch the treehouse. I've just about given up on Nintendo.
And when he told me that, I'm like, I'm sorry, I read that as Break of Wind. From your butt.
Zelda, the fart within.
The fart. let's quickly talk a little bit about...
Really quickly, because we're running out of time.
Let's quickly talk about Final Fantasy 15.
Okay, all right, let's do this. Let's end on Final Fantasy 15. I'm going to say one thing about Zelda. It's a Zelda game.
It's a Zelda, yeah.
Okay, it's an open world Zelda game. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are going to buy into that. That's great. I'm just about to sell my Wii U and actually just, like, be out on the Nintendo stuff.
Can I have your games?
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
I think I only have, like, 2 games.
That's okay.
No, actually, I lie. I did buy Twilight Princess, the one with the amiibo, and it is on my shelf because I wanted the amiibo more so than I wanted the game.
It's all about the amiibo?
It was about the amiibo. I wanted Link riding the wolf. I wanted Midna riding the wolf amiibo, so that's why I have it.
Okay.
So I have, like, 2 games. Alright, step back. I'm pretty much done with Nintendo. I have a real sinking suspicion that I'm about to drop my 3DS and I'm about to drop the Wii U.
Can I have your 3DS?
We'll talk about it. You have one.
Yeah, I know, but now I could, like, street pass myself back and forth forever.
You're a dick.
I'm all about them puzzle pieces, bitch.
Pretty much, because, like, if I game mobily, it's on my iPad. Like, they're not putting anything out of the 3DS that I want. I don't Pokemons.
I do.
So, like, what is there for me?
Yes.
Nothing. Like, on the Wii side, they fucked up Mario Party, so it's not competitive, so which was one of my favorite things to do, and I can't get anybody to fucking Mario Kart race, so outside of Zelda, they're not bringing on any more Bayonetta, and if they do, it's probably going to be on all consoles and not going to be Wii exclusive anymore.
Right.
So why do I need a Wii U? Why do I need a Wii U?
Or an NX?
I don't, probably.
You don't.
So why have the console taking up space? That's just rude. All right, so anyway, let's take a step back. Let's end on Final Fantasy.
So here's the thing about Final Fantasy 15, because I played a little bit of it at PAX East, because they had a little fragment that if you weren't playing I Am Setsuna, you were in line to play play that. It's a Final Fantasy game. It looks gorgeous. I know that this rendering was from, and I'm probably going to misquote this because I'm the queen of it, but back when I was watching a test demo of something that they were going to try to utilize in this Final Fantasy game. They were talking about things rendering in real time, and we are clearly seeing that in Final Fantasy 15.
Yep.
I like this band of bros that are four. It kind of gives me a feel, a Sayuki or Journey of the West feel in story.
Yep.
Only from its visuals, because I have no idea who the fuck these guys are, but they're all different colors. You got your blue guy, you got your yellow guy, it looks like you got a green guy.
Your yellow guy is probably your monkey. I'm just gonna throw it out there.
He's your Son Goku. He's gonna be like a Beastmaster or something like that, who can like summon fucking Aeons or Ideons or whatever.
It's always the golden boy.
So, I mean, it also gave me a little cringe of Enchanted Arms a little bit because of those color schemes, just a little bit. Because remember, Enchanted Arms was shit on a stick, and I mean, granted, Square Enix really needs to pull something out of its hat right now, and granted, it looks gorgeous, and I already know for a fact that the blue guy can change his form between his younger self and his, so he has a time-related ability. So, oh my gosh, I'm about it. I'm ready to see what it is and see if anyone buys it so I can look at it and maybe touch it before I open up my wallet, because Square has burned me before.
Look, Square needs a win.
They need a win
on
bad.
The Final Fantasy tip, because
they need one bad.
Previously, and again, we've talked about this before, but complacency ruining things, okay? They got real comfortable in owning the big fantasy world, summoning experience, gorgeous visual RPG space. And then
they fucked it up.
It's not that they fucked it up, but they got comfortable in it, like they couldn't be challenged. And then actually people west of Japan got pretty good at it. Witcher, phenomenal at it.
Yep.
Skyrim,
yep.
Phenomenal at it.
You're right.
And started eating their lunch on, we can do this in an action way, which most Westerners prefer, but still deliver this amazing fantasy experience that only for a long time was reserved of, if you wanted something like that, it was coming out of Square. And if you wanted a deep, rich story, it was coming out of Square.
Yep.
And then it wasn't, because now you were looking at games like, what was that one? Lost Worlds? The one that you played with Kaim.
Oh, Lost Odyssey.
Yeah, Lost Odyssey. Okay. Big, beautiful, deep game.
Oh my god, yes. So much text.
Not Square.
I know.
Okay, so now you didn't have to be Square to be able to deliver that. Other people could do it just as well. Just as
grandiose.
I'm glad
that you remembered that with Kai. As soon as you said his name, I knew exactly what you were talking about. Otherwise, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I was like, boom, boom, with them.
They got the immortals, and they don't die for a super long time, but the mortals do, and oh my god, and the rape scene that was written really well.
So,
yeah.
So, Square needs
not
a win.
Not that I'm endorsing rape.
No. Square needs a win. Remind me, is 15 the one that's supposed to be the action RPG?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. Because I've been avoiding 15 like the plague. I haven't looked at the anime that they had running, which is supposed to give you some of the backstory of the brothers and like all their thing before you get into the game and the game itself. I'm giving Square basically a month to convince me to try 15. They got a month to convince me to try it. Because I would like a good action RPG. And I love the character design that Square's always brought to the table. I'm not convinced yet. And there's all kinds of other shit out there in the world that I gotta try. Dishonored 2, which we're not going to talk about that. We're going to get into that in a... But all the shit for Fallout. I might actually finally fucking play Fallout 4 now.
I bought it.
I haven't bought it. I might actually buy it. Get the Definitive Edition. Because the DLC stuff that they were showing up looked pretty fucking cool with the abandoned fucking fairground thing. That shit just looked, like, messed up. Like, there's so much else going on that in order to get my dollar now, you really gotta go above and beyond. And Square's not renting it. Like, one of the things that they talked about, and then we're gonna wrap this up, that pissed me off and it flew under the radar, okay, because the other thing I said I wanted from Square was a ship date on fucking Kingdom Hearts 3, or just to know that it's still there. And we didn't get that, but you know what Square did announce? Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Definitive blah 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 something else version of Dream of Thing. So there's a 2.8 Kingdom Hearts coming out. Fuck you! Fuck you! Either give me 3 or shut the fuck up about Kingdom Hearts.
We got 2.8, 2.9, and then 3.
No! Fuck you! Fuck you!
2.8 remix drop distance over 8 days.
2.85 key. No, fuck you! Fuck you in the face. Duh. So, with that, it's time for us to wrap up this episode of the podcast. We'll have more E3 stuff to discuss.
Next
more
week.
Games. I just, like, we didn't even get to any of the indie stuff. We didn't get to the peripheral stuff. You know, Astro's got a new headset coming. Like, oh, Lord Jesus, we got so many things to talk about. So make sure that you check us out on our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can also get our news and reviews and all kinds of new stuff that you want to read in Apple News. Just look for Electric Sisterhood and subscribe by hitting the plus button, and we'll show up in your For You news all the time. But definitely bookmark our site. Check out all of our great articles. You can even check out our live tweet archive. It's up now of us talking through the entirety of all the media briefings that happen at E3. Just visit our website and check out electricsisterhood.com/live to see them all there. Make sure that you follow us on social. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. Follow us on Twitter at ESH News. Share with us if there's something that you want us to check out or to share on a podcast or, frankly, write about, or you just want to know what we're playing. Just interact with us on those social channels. Share our content. Tell people about us. Be part of our community. It's pretty flippin' sweet, and we love talking with you guys about games and anime. So make sure that you check us out. Like I said, facebook.com/landofesh, on Twitter at ESH News, and we're on Instagram as well at ESH News. So you can interact with us pretty much across all your socials. It'll be awesome. We're also on YouTube. Check us out, youtube.com/electricsisterhood. We have interviews from shows that we're going to, plus we're going to have some videos up there pretty soon of stuff that we're playing or that we're interested in playing, or just us reacting to shit, because that's what we do. We react to shit. So, with that said, make sure that you check out everybody that's part of the Land of Ash. No Borders, No Race, great podcast by KBD over at b3crew.com, smashrook.com, issuesprogram.com, nerdcrave.com, games, anime, TV show recaps, live chats, call-in lives. Just, if it's nerdy, trust us. We're talking about it. Video games, anime, manga, comics,
movies,
just Game of Thrones, like everything. We got it all. So until next time, guys, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Deuces.
Bye.